Triple M, the night shift. Now, what does ICAC's finding mean for Gladys Berejiklian's reputation? A national figure as one of the key faces of COVID during the New South Wales daily updates, then her decision to step down in October 2021. Now, the Independent Commissioner Against Corruption, ICAC, has handed down a finding of serious corrupt conduct against the former New South Wales Premier. So what does this mean for her reputation moving forward? What now for her and her reputation? Credibility expert Dr. Neryl East, whose book Named and Shamed focuses on another high-profile ICAC investigation. She joins us now on the night shift. Hi there, Neryl. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Pat. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Great to have your company. Quite a national story and a big one that it took them 2 years to, issue this report on Gladys. Can we start there, Neryl? That was sort of a long time to wait.
It is a long time to wait, but that's not unusual in these situations. And I know various states have different versions of the Independent Commission Against Corruption, as we have in New South Wales. These investigations are long and complex, and obviously that adds to a good deal of stress and angst on the part of those being investigated. And it can certainly then pack a very heavy punch when the findings are handed down. It's quite a momentous situation, having had that long build-up over a period of time, certainly as was the case here.
So it's not unusual for it to take 2 years, and we should accept that it'll take that long because, as you say, it's very complex. There's a lot to be looked at and investigated. I think the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, sort of said, correct me if I'm wrong, he sort of said, well, people are putting their lives on hold and waiting for the result, but that's just the way it is.
Look, it's certainly very, very difficult, and I know there's been plenty of commentary in the last few days around this finding and, looking at those timeframes. And I think there's also been some commentary around ICAC investigations undertaking to be a much shorter time in future. But I certainly know of other cases where it has taken definitely this long, 2 years from the start of the investigation, roughly until the time the result is made public. And absolutely, the people involved makes it very hard for them to make long-term plans, don't really know what's going to happen. And while the outcome mightn't be any better, I think, most people would want to get it over and done with more quickly so that they can get on with what needs to happen next.
Now, being a credibility expert, I'm interested to talk about, what does it mean on a political level and also from your day-to-day life at work, Neryl? Can we talk about that? When something like this happens to you and your reputation, how do you deal with it and what does it mean?
Well, there's no doubt having an adverse finding like this of serious corruption leaves a very long tail for any individual. When they're a person from a political background, of course, people will have their views of that person along political lines. But if you kind of take that out and think of the person as an individual and as a leader, this finding will be attached to that person for the rest of their life. And when you think about it, there's no end date. It's not like you serve your time and then you move past that. And while there mightn't be, in this case, not a recommendation for any criminal proceedings, nothing like that, there's no fine or other penalties, the reputational damage is immeasurable. And also the personal toll, and certainly my experience with another high-profile case and understanding the impact that had on some of the individuals involved, you can't underestimate that. This will have a big impact on those involved in this case and other ICAC cases where there has been an adverse finding. So, it mightn't be a monetary penalty or jail time or anything like that, but certainly there'll be a very high price to pay. And I really liken it to, I guess, a 21st century version of being branded. We brand the person as corrupt and likely no further action, but that person bears that brand forever. And it takes a very long time for that to change. And I would argue that really you can't change it. It's going to follow those individuals around for a very long time.
Right, right. So what does that mean, Neryl? I mean, and this is not defending anything in that space there, but I see these things happen in the news all the time. And I think really it's a consequence of getting out there and having a go and doing something. If you're worried about it blowing up, you might never do anything? And you're saying here, well, they've said that she's corrupt and she'll never, or anybody is able to ever shake it off. I mean, does that stop us from doing something or attempting something, or am I just saying the wrong thing?
Well, I don't think it's a reason for people not to stand for public office and not to do their best. Obviously, there are certain areas of behaviour that we don't want our leaders to go into. And I think most fair-minded people will acknowledge that having some sort of process to catch that behaviour is a good thing for our society. But somehow that's got to be balanced with what then happens to a person when they're caught up in one of these situations. Does the end result fit the circumstances? Mm. And the reality is a body like ICAC in New South Wales and other bodies has very broad powers, very sweeping powers. It can compel people to give evidence. It has all sorts of tools and strategies available to it. And there's quite a power imbalance in terms of what it can bring to an investigation compared to what the person being investigated can necessarily bring. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. In this case, ICAC officers, I'm sure, were working within the bounds of their powers. But those powers are considerable. And the other thing is that if an ICAC investigation leads to a public inquiry, the findings are made very public. They're played out on the public record. But those on the receiving end of the investigation don't necessarily have that opportunity. If they've got any rebuttal evidence, certainly in my experience, that evidence is given in writing and not necessarily put on the public record, or not in a very easily accessible way. Now, whether that's still the case and whether that's the case here, I'm not certain, but we absolutely haven't heard any major public rebuttal evidence from any of the parties. So it's like we hear one side of the equation. And then it's really up to those involved afterwards, if they want to tell their story, to do that. So it's very, very different from a criminal court case, but perhaps people don't really understand the difference. And they're just used to court cases running a certain way, and there's an expectation that it's two-sided. It's not necessarily that way under ICAC's powers.
How interesting. So it's different under ICAC's powers. Is it imbalance? So, and you did say, you know, is it a good or a bad thing that the fact that it's really mostly a one-way street? They've got all the power and you just need to accept what's coming your way.
Well, I think, again, their powers are sweeping. So those being investigated, you know, do have certain opportunities, but often those opportunities are not played out in the public domain, so we don't necessarily get to hear them. But because ICAC does tend to use phone taps and email intercepts and things like that, and those can be played out in really dramatic fashion. You know, those are played in the public domain, so everybody's hearing excerpts from telephone conversations, for example, while the person is in the witness box, and then they're questioned about it. So they are really there in the spotlight, put on the spot, and everybody's watching to see what they will do. You know, it's very interesting because a person speaking to somebody with whom they have a very close relationship, if they're speaking on the phone with an expectation of privacy, you know, there's a possibility that person may say something that, taken out of context, could be construed very negatively. Now, I'm not referring to this specific case here, but in general, that could be the case. I mean, some of the conversations we have
from day to day. That's right. You know, if it's just a snapshot of what the conversation was with somebody you're close to, it can 100% be taken out of context. That's true.
Yes, that's right. So some of those powers, but I guess the point is that's all played out on the public record. Once it's out there, it's out there, and then it's very, very hard for the person being investigated to have any rebuttal to that or do that in a way that's really going to get any traction. And as I said, I think having this system is a good thing. I don't think we want to become like some, you know, countries that you might visit when you're on holidays where there's, you know, rampant corruption among public authorities. We don't want that. No. But that comes at a price. And is this a perfect system? Well, you know, I guess there are some things to consider. And certainly, you know, for those at the centre of these investigations, and particularly for people who are maybe kind of on the edges of the investigation, who are caught up in the web of whatever the matter is, it can be very, very damaging and damning. And as I say, that follows them for a very long time, and it can have a catastrophic impact on their life.
Triple M's The Night Shift. We're chatting with Dr. Neryl East, a credibility expert, about what it does to your reputation, like Gladys Berejiklian, when you have a corruption finding against you, like ICAC have done in recent times. So what does it do to the individual there, Neryl? You know, we talk about how damning it can be, and you've got to carry it around for, you know, all of your life. How do you deal with it as a person?
Well, let me give you an example. So an investigation that I had a little bit of a closer look at was one back in the early 2000s, which involved a local government authority here in New South Wales, Wollongong City Council. And at the time, it was very well known. ICAC investigated about 10 people and handed down very broad findings, and in fact recommended a couple of those people for criminal proceedings, which didn't actually amount to anything. Now, the CEO of that council was one of the people caught up in that and had a finding, an adverse finding against him. And I got to see the impact that that had on his life. He was a man in his early 70s, still had plenty of life, plenty of opportunities. He was on boards. He had lots of things going on. Those opportunities just dried up in a very short time. And I believe that that probably took about 10 years off his life. He actually passed away last year. And I think the stress and I guess, you know, for some individuals, there's feelings of anger and injustice and that personal toll, as well as the reputational damage. It really did have a catastrophic impact on him. Now, that's one person. I'm sure that plays out in different ways for others. So just because a person's not being recommended for criminal charges, we can't underestimate the long-term impact something like this might have, and particularly if they already have a very public profile, as the former Premier has.
So is there a better way of doing it instead of crushing somebody? That example you give, you know, it affected the rest of his life. Is there a better way of doing this? As you say, we want to work in a system where people are doing the right thing when in public office, but is there another way we should be looking at this process?
Well, you know, there's been lots of commentary around this, and I'm not a legal expert, but I think that this is definitely worth having a look at. Again, there's no perfect system necessarily, but surely there's got to be a way where those being investigated have more of an opportunity to put forward their side of the story should they choose to. And particularly in those cases where there are lots of people caught up in the investigation, there may well be one or two individuals at the core of it who have been involved in seriously, you know, poor behaviour. But there might be others who have been caught up along the way, who perhaps if they were able to tell their story publicly, the reputational damage might be a little eased for them, rather than having, you know, all of their career prospects and you know, much of their life disrupted by this. So I think it definitely bears looking at. It's a question that's been raised many times. You know, there are many critics of ICAC and its similar organisations in other states, but at the same time, it is important that we have this system. So I think successive and different governments have a challenge here to look at this and see, is there a better way?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And looking at it, I guess, is the first way to start and asking that question, is there a better way? What about sort of just boiling it down to your work life or your personal life? If your credibility is damaged, how do you deal with it on that level? Do you walk away, get a new job? Do you take them on and say, look, I've been accused of this thing and I want to have my say? How do you deal with it on maybe the small level, not so public, but any advice in that domain?
Yeah, so anybody, any leader or anybody who's really wanting to build trust or credibility needs to clearly demonstrate two things. You need to show rapport building and connection and be a person that people feel that they can build a relationship with. But the other side of that is you need to demonstrate your competence. You need to be somebody who others will look at and say, yeah, look, I trust you. I find you credible. And especially at the moment, you know, when our poor world has gone through so many challenges the last few years, people are really looking to others who are reliable and trustworthy. So whether that's a leader in business or a small business operator or somebody going for a job, it's really demonstrating, am I a person who is relatable, but also am I a person who is competent and credible, and making sure that you're really telegraphing both of those. And I think if there is something in your past, mightn't be quite as dramatic as an adverse ICAC finding, yes, but if there's something in your past, much better to be transparent about it. If there's bad news to be told, it's much better that you tell the bad news up front and give the context around it. People value honesty and openness and transparency, and provided you're demonstrating those other qualities, you've got a good chance of being able to build a relationship that can then lead to something that's got trust and credibility long term. So you can turn these situations around, but they don't happen by accident. You've got to put in the work, and you've got to make sure that you're role modeling behavior that aligns with your values, and you're making sure that you're not skirting on the edges of anything that could see you caught up in something very negative.
Good advice there. And we see it in sport and in the movies, Hollywood and stuff, the story of resurrection. Often the media sort of raises people up, then they sort of have a fall, and then they come back up again. So there's also that sort of fascination by us humans of that resurrection. Oh, they've come back from, being the underdog. So that might be in a different realm, but that's something that happens too, don't you reckon, Neryl?
Well, it is possible, but I mean, we are pretty hard on our politicians, aren't we? I think worldwide, but I think we Aussies are pretty hard on people like that. So I think the fact that somebody is a former premier, they're going to be judged by a pretty harsh standard. And that might be harder. Any resurrection, in your words, might be a little bit harder. But it is also important to realise that, these are living, breathing humans. This isn't a Netflix program that we're watching here. These are individuals, right. Whether it's this particular case or other similar cases, there are people involved. And sometimes we can be a little bit harsh with those things.
Yes.
So, I think that people can come back from situations like this depending on the circumstances, but they've got their work cut out. And again, that reputational damage will linger just behind them for a long time to come.
Wonderful. Great discussion. Appreciate your time here on Triple M, the Night Shift. Now, your book, Named and Shamed, we could pick that up, can we, Neryl?
Absolutely. Yeah. People can just find that online. It's on my website, or it's on various bookstore websites. And it's around that Wollongong City Council corruption issue back in the 2000s. But some of the principles we've talked about are just as true today that I talked about then. It's an interesting insight into one person's journey through an ICAC investigation.
Speaker and credibility expert Neryl East, thank you for being on Triple M's The Night Shift.
Thanks for having me, Pat. Thanks. Bye for now.